Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. Today is July 7th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. We just got off of a 4th of July holiday, and man, I had a good time. I don't know about you. Lots of fireworks going on, lots of partying, lots of barbecuing. Good time. I don't know if you know it or not. I've been posting it on social media. I bartend at the Shop's Barbecue, and I usually do it on Thursday nights. Did it this last week on Wednesday to celebrate the 4th of July. Had a whole bunch of fireworks. Had a great time. If you want to check out some of the fireworks, you can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page there, and look at the quick video that I posted for the fireworks. Pretty neat. Today, though, as always, I start my day with a fresh cup of Joe at the Hilltop Cefco here in Cameron. Go in there, and they've got specials going on. They got 2 for $2, any rollers you want for $2. And they've got monsters, 3 for $5. You get your coffee, paper, smokes, monsters, rollers, whatever it takes to get your day going. Go there to the Hilltop Cefco in Cameron. Tell Becky hi and that you heard it here on the radio. Now, we're simulcasting here on KMIL 105.1 FM right here, right now, and also a KRXT 98.5 out of Rockdale. So all you Rockdaleonians, give us a call. And anybody else out there down towards the Austin area, too, give us a call. The number here at the studio is 254-697-6633. And you can call us that way. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the Aaron's Gunshop website, aaronsgunshop.com, and check us out there. Do the social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. And subscribe to the YouTube channel. Lots of ways to check it out. We got lots of good information on the YouTube channel. Lots of good videos from guest speakers and different parts and segments of the show. Now, let me tell you what's coming up in the show. Once again, as always, we got 3 true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. We're going to learn from people who have gone through the experience of self-defense, the do's and don'ts of survival. Today's License to Carry attorney segment with the attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is going to cover Penal Code 4613, making a firearm accessible to a child. Also, a couple other questions, basically, when is it legal for a child to possess a firearm? When is a gun considered loaded? And more. And as always, it's going to be a very informative segment, so make sure you're listening up. And feel free to give us a call. We had some calls coming in. It's great to hear other people's perspectives and questions. So write it down. Give us a call. We're caller-friendly here. This week's segment of Tactical Snacking with the delicious Janae Goodman will cover chips. Last week, it was salsas and dips. This week, chips. Sounds like a great follow-up segment to me. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia, and all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Now, today's product spotlight is the UTS-15 12-gauge pump shotgun. This is a beast of a shotgun. So go to aaronsgunshop.com's Facebook page and see me with the video of it. It's a beast. Looks like a 2x6, but it's a heck of a lot more than that. So check it out. Look at it. And then you need to call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417 to buy it. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer is one of our sponsors. It's a great place, great owner, staff. So go call them today. Check out that video. Go see them later after the show and go buy that baby. Now, today I got a special guest, a good friend of mine. For the 3 people here in Milan County who don't know who Butch Downey is, he comes to the range all the time. And it's amazing how he has progressed in his skills. And he's going to come on, and we're going to talk about those things and what it takes to get better and why he chose to do so and maybe some points of wisdom that he can give to everybody. Now, Master Cindy Key, who normally beats me up at the end of the show, she had to go out of town this time, so we're going to play a replay of one of Master Key's segments, and I'm going to leave it up to Trey to pick up a good one. And there's so much more to the show, okay? So strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, and let's get started. We're going to start with the stories of self-defense out of the American Rifleman's current issue, the Armed Citizens column, and story number one reads as follows. Returning to the scene of the crime was not a good idea for a couple of suspect burglars in Nashville, Tennessee. The 2 men allegedly broke into a home and attacked the woman who was inside. Shortly thereafter, the man of the house returned home. When the homeowner entered, one of the intruders struck him in the head with a blunt object, dazing him. The resident was then restrained and shoved into another room where they told him to open the gun safe so they could steal the firearms. The stunned homeowner complied, and the intruders apparently took off with 3 long guns and a pistol in hand. The male victim then armed himself and started to try to find his wife. Instead, he found the intruders, one of whom he fatally shot. The dead man was identified as someone with a rap sheet for auto burglary, felony theft, and other misdeeds. He was also suspect in a break-in at the same home a month or two earlier. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's my excellent commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, two creeps break in, assault the wife, beat the husband, restrain him, stole his weapons, and who knows what else. Then the husband goes to find his wife, but first meets up with the intruders. Ladies and gentlemen, no one in their right mind would question this man at all for blowing this scum away. Fortunately, he did just that to one of them. Do whatever you can to prevent yourself from this terrible type of situation. And if you do get in it, fall back on your training. And remember, you're only as good as your training. Probably a little bit less. We're never as good as we are in training under a stressful environment. We always fall back to it, though. Now, story number two. Some people are so intent on wreaking havoc, they don't even... Some people are so intent on wreaking havoc, they don't even heed verbal warnings about the prospect of being shot. Such was the case in Hesperia, California, where a man was trying to force his way into a home of a Vietnam veteran. The military man heard someone trying to break into his home through a window. The homeowner grabbed his gun and told the burglar suspect to leave, but the intruder continued what he was doing, eventually forcibly gaining entry, police said. The armed citizen fired, critically injuring the trespasser. When the police arrived, officers found the wounded suspect on the ground in the front yard. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, the military veteran, after hearing a noise, did what, Trey? After hearing a noise, he did what? He went and got his gun first. Then gave verbal commands for the intruder to stop, then stopped him by using his firearm. This story is by the numbers. 1, 2, 3, or simple as ABC. That's the way it's done. I think you would agree in a court of law. Ross, he kind of did everything he had to do, right?
That's right.
That's right. Story number three. A New Mexico burglary suspect. A New Mexico burglary suspect will have plenty of time to sit and think about his actions, but it may not be very comfortable. I know where this story is going.
I don't think I like where it's going.
After the bad guy broke into what was then an unoccupied house, someone came home. The resident noticed things were amiss and drew his gun before going inside, where he caught the thief in the act. The intruder pulled out a box cutter and lunged at the armed citizen, who fired once, hitting the stranger in the backside. Charges are pending. Yeah, I know. If he's charging him, how did he get hit in the backside? I don't know. Let's see what my commentary says. Maybe it has an explanation. Who knows? Ladies and gentlemen, the homeowner was observant and armed himself before entering the home. It's obvious, however, that the thief doesn't know the basic rules. You don't bring a box cutter to a gunfight. That's right. Very good, Trey. You get a blue star. You know why I always say blue star, not a gold star? Well, gold star represents, unfortunately, a fallen soldier of a family. A blue star represents a person in that family serving. So instead of, you know, you're saying, you got a gold star? No, I don't do that. We're going to give a blue star. Okay, let's go on now. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I have an opinion. And as quickly as Trey will say it, sometimes that opinion ain't worth squat, but let's see what we got here. But I like to do this, you know, I like to think. I got a new apparatus here. I've got my little pipe here, and I put it, you know, I'm stoking on it, and I'm thinking words of wisdom. So here we go. Opinion piece, mindset. Ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself a question. Be honest with your answer. Can you, at the drop of a hat, use deadly force against someone you feel is or has crossed the line when it comes to your safety and well-being? I'll let you think about it for a second, but in reality, you don't have a second. So I ask you now, can you or can't you? If your answer is no, then you have a serious problem on your hands. The person assaulting you in a deadly manner has already made their mind up. You're already behind the curve. The only thing now that can possibly save you is your mindset and the training you have done prior to this deadly situation. Having a gun or any self-defense weapon for that matter, is worthless if you don't have the mental and physical capabilities to use that gun or other self-defense weapon. All of us cannot be experts at everything, but there are some things that are mandatory to be proficient at. If you decide to carry a gun for self-protection, then it is mandatory that you become proficient in mind and mechanics when it comes to using that tool. The mindset is, can I use it against another human being? And the mechanics is, can I effectively use the weapon I have chosen to use for my self-defense? I use the example of baking a cake to show the difference of importance. If you bake a cake and it burns or falls flat, what do? You make another one. No big deal, right? Well, when it comes to your mindset and making the decision to pull the trigger, you only get one crack at it. You either did it right the first time or you didn't. There's no throwing out the bad mistake and trying again. You will be judged on that specific moment in time. A person who carries a weapon for self-defense does not have the luxury of doubt. You must know you can stop someone with lethal force and then do it effectively. If you've been a student in any of my classes or seminars, you know I push this fact to the max. It just boils down to being a non-negotiable topic. Mindset. You either have the right mindset or you don't. If you have it, then Godspeed. If you don't, then get with the program or keep the gun at home. And with that, Trey, look at that. Right on time, brother. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson. We're going to be talking Penal Code 4613, making a firearm accessible to a child. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Vicki Goza of Mark Burns Label Funeral Home talks about the celebration of life.
Let's remember that loved one, their life, about the way they lived and what they embraced. Funerals are really about life. Our attitude is we need to remember this person by celebrating the life that they lived.
Call Mark Burns Label Funeral Home anytime, serving Central Texas families since 1908. 254-697-3661.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721. Or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Gavin Mitchell Radio Program. I played this song specifically for you. I was preparing for the show before the show, and I got to the attorney segment. I'm going to myself, you know, I need a special song for Ross. And this is, man, this segment's like a crazy train going off the rails, dude.
That's it. That's it. We're crazy in here.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be part of the show on this segment or any segment, give us a call here at 254-697-6633. It does not have to be topic specific. You can go wander if you want with your questions when it comes to legalities, license to carry, and things of that nature. So give us a call, 254-697-6633. Let's get a call from some of you people down there near Austin and everywhere else. So give us a call, 254-697-6633. Trey, be prepared for those calls and let me know what you got coming. Okay, now, Ross.
Cool.
I was talking about Penal Code 4613, making a firearm accessible to a child. There's so many different directions we can go. I've had people ask me questions about certain aspects of it. Do you want to read in a general basic outline and then we can go to those questions, or do you want me to hit you up specifically with?
Yeah, I covered some of those questions and some examples, some semi-real life scenarios. Kind of, I didn't obviously use any real names or anything like that, but also I was just going to go through the offense one time, and
okay,
then we'll go through some examples. I think it's easier to
understand
with some examples. So we're talking about Texas Penal Code 4613 today. It basically says a person commits an offense if a child younger than 17 years of age gains access to a readily dischargeable firearm and the person with criminal negligence either failed to secure the firearm or left the firearm in a place to which the person knew or should have known the child would gain access to it. In other words, if you're criminally negligent and leave a firearm out and that firearm is readily dischargeable and a child, meaning younger than 17 years of age, right, gets a hold of it, that's gaining access.
Let me give a plain Jane scenario.
All right, so dad forgets his fully loaded 7 mag on the kitchen table, and his son, little Johnny Boy, uses it to play cowboys and bandits with his cousin Jethro. Dad immediately walks in, takes the gun from Johnny, and scolds him, "You're not to play with my gun." Okay? 7 mag is fully loaded, left on the kitchen table. Little Johnny picks it up and plays cowboys and bandits with his cousin Jethro. In your opinion, has he committed an offense?
Well, technically, yes, because he allowed access to it. But you could say no, because
he didn't get caught.
Well, okay, you want to say that, but technically, the child was in the presence of the adult supervision at that time.
Okay, the dad walks back into the room, immediately scolds him.
Gray area.
Go ahead.
I think it comes down to the criminally negligent wording. What defines criminally negligent?
Well, I mean, it was negligent on his part.
My 13-year-old son has access to the firearms that are locked up in the cabinet, and he knows how to get to them, but that's because we've discussed gun safety with him. We've taught him.
And I think you're treading a fine line. All of these are fact questions. What I'm trying to do is tell you that you don't want to be in a situation where there's going to be a fact question and you don't want to have a jury decide it. I think in this situation, My straight answer was likely dad's guilty of violating this. And the whole point of this first question was, it doesn't matter if anything bad happens. The child had access.
Right.
The child gained access to a weapon that was fully loaded, one in the chamber. Okay, boom, it's ready to go.
Well, the whole purpose of that law is to safely protect the child. So, in essence, because the firearm was readily accessible, and even though it was in the house, and even though dad came right back in, the bottom line is that this law was made up for specific reasons of that example. It was there. The child could have, if he went one extra step and screwed up, could have caused serious damage.
And so let's go one extra step. Let's say that little Johnny actually shoots Jethro for breaking his Incredibles action figure. I just took the Ric Flair. Woo! I was going to show the Ric Flair action figure. But let's say the Incredibles action figure actually shoots Jethro this time. Before dad can walk in.
Yeah.
Now dad's guilty of a Class A misdemeanor.
That's right.
Okay, it's a really serious offense. Maybe he's guilty of something else worse than this.
That's
okay, you're going to get into some constitutional issues about double jeopardy or, you know, in other statutory construction in part material. Don't worry about that. It's complicated stuff, stupid stuff, kind of legal baloney. But anyway, the point is dad's going to be charged with a more serious offense. A child's going to be shot. He's probably going to be sued by Aunt Becky, okay, because her son is hurt because he didn't watch his son properly in playing with this large, dangerous weapon, okay? And so that's the problem. Now, let's say that here's one for you.
Go.
One for you question.
Go ahead.
Let's say for Christmas, dad gives Johnny a Red Ryder BB gun, fully loaded, one in the chamber, pumped up, ready to fire. As soon as dad gives it to Johnny, Johnny turns around, points at Jethro, puts his eye out.
Doesn't count. It's not considered a gun.
It's not. Why not?
Because ATF says so.
Okay, so it's...
I'll tell you why I know that. My brother from another mother, Mark Boyer, who's over in Afghanistan... He sends in a request for a high-powered pellet rifle to take out rats that are the size of freaking dogs. I call ATF and I say, look, I want to make sure I do this right. And they go, don't bother me. It's not a gun, okay? It's not classified as a gun. Now, if you want to go with proper technique, then you should apply all the same rules to that pellet rifle that you do a real gun, because here's another example. When I first took my boys out hunting when they were small, I gave them tiny little plastic guns that went rat-a-tat-tat. And I said, we're going to go hunting, and you're going to use this gun exactly the way you would if it's a real gun. So you teach them properly. So even though you went from plastic to pellet to real, all the techniques are the same.
I'm glad you have the expert analysis, but I stick with the words of the statute. The words say a firearm. In the code, a firearm is described as... something that's shot as a projectile using an explosion or burning substance or any device readily convertible to one of those two uses. So an explosion or burning device. Pellet gun, BB gun, right, is propelled by compressed air. Okay, so it's not a firearm. Those kind of things are not a firearm.
I see that. I can see how you would come up with that based on...
Okay, so let's just know, we're not talking about BB guns and pellet guns here. But I had that question, so I thought I'd cover it. Let's talk about maybe mom leaves her 30-06, maybe leaning on the nightstand. Okay, she has a specialized magazine. The magazine is fully loaded. Now, she thinks she's being safe. She checks it every night and makes sure there's not one in the chamber. Okay, and makes sure that the safeties are on. All right, so now let's say that little Johnny grabs the gun, jacks the lever, takes aim, and launches the 165 grain bullet through the window at the neighbor's cat, Precious.
Never did like that cat. She's negligent.
Okay.
Because the law says whether there's a round in the chamber or not.
That's exactly right. Okay, that's the point of that question. The point is not for me to say whether, as Trey pointed out, whether she was criminally negligent or not. That's going to be a jury question. But the point of that question is it was readily dischargeable. Okay, and readily dischargeable under this law is going to be loaded with ammunition whether or not a round is in the chamber.
I sent you a secondary question to that. I don't want to get ahead of you. But what if you got the firearm, chamber's empty, magazine is out of the gun, and maybe it's not near the gun, maybe the homeowner's got it on their person, or maybe they put it in the drawer.
Okay, let's say mom has her Louis Vuitton purse. All right, she leaves it laying on the living room sofa, wide open. Okay, she's got her, let's say, the Ruger LCR 38 Special laying right there, obviously where it can be seen in the purse. She's got the bullets right in the front pocket, also open, right? Little Johnny grabs the gun, loads it, okay, is all hopped up on Dr. Pepper and Sour Punch Kids, okay, and runs out shooting away, okay? Now what do we say?
Well, I want to attack that two different ways. It probably wasn't wise. If we want to go, I want to get the legal thing, the legal part of it, and then the common sense part of it. I don't know if legally that would be categorized as a loaded weapon because it's readily available or whatever, but in the common sense aspect of it, absolutely, it was wrong.
Under the language of the statute, she's not guilty under 4613. Okay, because it was not readily dischargeable.
Right, right.
There was not ammunition in the weapon.
Now, I want to clear something up because I'm not picking on you. I just want to make sure so I can understand the difference between the two. You made mention to a revolver, okay, and the cartridge is going into the cylinder. I'm talking about an auto pistol with the magazine out loaded. It's much easier.
Same
concept. Okay.
In my opinion, same difference. You got the bullets outside the weapon.
Okay.
They're not in the weapon. Now, is that endangerment of a child, abandonment of a child? Are you going to be possibly in trouble for something else? Yeah, I mean, I'd say those are possibilities based on the factors of the case. Today, we're limited right now to 4613. And like you said, common sense?
Well, heck, man, if you say it that way, I'd rather take the Class A misdemeanor.
You gotta be smart though, okay. And like I said, there's probably some defenses maybe that I can make from the constitutional standpoint, construction standpoint. But you don't want to have to be hiring me to make those arguments.
That's right. Now, there's a difference between you screwed up one time because everybody's human. We all screw up. But if your general practice is lackadaisical, that's the proper way to say it, right? In your methods of protecting your children and keeping guns away from them. And it's a constant problem where the stuff is all over the place for them to have access to, as compared to one time something happened, something fell over, the wife dropped the purse, and it happened to open up, and there was some stuff there. You see the difference?
Yes.
So how does that look upon in the court? It doesn't matter. Law
and that's
law,
what I'm
right?
saying. If that could be an issue, that's why you just need to make sure that you're in control of your weapon. You know what you're doing. It's in a even if your weapon were to fall out, right? You would not have maybe. I mean, accidents happen, and accidents are going to happen. Guns are not no guns, period. Mm-hmm. But that's why you just need to make sure, because you don't want to be in this situation where you're having to ask 12 people to decide some fact issue that they weren't there and try to convince them that that's really what happened.
Hey,
and I say really, it's supposed to be presumed beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm just telling you.
Before this segment's up, I want to discuss with you negligent and accidental discharges. There is a difference, and I think because you just brought something up, I want to talk about it because I've had both, and it's interesting. So I want to make sure we talk about that.
Well, let's say that Johnny and his dad go deer hunting, and the dad's going to show Johnny how to deer hunt, and so they go, and dad hands Johnny the fully loaded 7-mag again, right to him, and then they go walking off in the woods side by side together, okay? Dad sees an 18-point buck. He says, Johnny, bag him. Okay, Johnny points, pulls the trigger. Right, 180-grain bullets, way too much for Johnny. It kicks. Boom, you got the bullet sailing fields across his Dick Cheney in the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do we have a defense?
Do we have a defense or a prosecution?
Could he be charged? Well, he made a loaded firearm accessible to a child,
but it was
readily dischargeable.
But he was within his presence. It's not like the child had access to it without supervision.
Which is why we get in now to the distinction between, right, an affirmative defense and a defense. So if this was classified as a defense,
clarify that. I'm vague on those terms.
If the code were to say that it's a defense to prosecution that such and such set of events occurred, okay, then they probably couldn't charge you. It would probably be wrongful for the police to charge you. When it says you have an affirmative defense,
it's like no way out of that one.
It's like you can still be charged, arrested, indicted, right? In this case, it's a misdemeanor, so probably not talking about an indictment, okay, unless there's some other kind of factors that make it like something else criminal, okay, on an enhanced degree. But it's an affirmative defense. You're going to have to assert at trial.
Okay.
Now, Would a DA probably do that? Because it's a waste of time. You'd be absolutely entitled to the affirmative defense. Okay, there was no other facts showing anything else, then you'd be able entitled to win this case, right? Especially if Dick Cheney came to you and sued you for a civil suit that you were what we call negligent per se. This is right at Rick Dodd's alley. Okay, to say that you violated a criminal statute, therefore you're absolutely, as a matter of law, negligent. Well, he has a defense under that criminal law because, right, he was supervising, right. He was over 18, and it was during a hunting activity. So, you have an affirmative defense. If you're supervising the child and you're over 18 years of age, and it's during a hunting, sporting, or other lawful activity.
Would it be considered negligent to allow a child a rifle with the inability to maintain and handle that rifle?
Oh, man, you just got. Do we have a lifeline for Rick?
Look, I tell you, I come from a family of attorneys, man. I'll take anything and spin it.
I mean, that's getting into the civil nature. And again, there may be something criminally that I don't know, some inventive prosecutor can come up with in that.
Because I don't know any prosecutor who gets hired to lose. You know what I'm saying?
We're lawyers. I mean, we go for the... So I'm not going to say what...
Everybody, the number here, 254-697-6633. It's a good topic here. Give us a call. Give us examples. Stay anonymous, whatever. But if you got a question, I'm sure there's 100 other people with the same question. So give us a call. 254-697-6633.
Let's go back to Maggie's 30-06 laying on the nightstand. Again, she double-checks it. Right, so there's not one in the chamber, but she got this specialized magazine. There's bullets in the magazine, and she's got her safety on. Okay, Johnny hears somebody breaking in. Right, he runs to Maggie's bedroom, right, grabs the weapon, jacks the lever, and says, "Freeze, you son of a basketball coach!" You see Trey flinch right there. He's doing it. They almost kicked me off this show, folks. Anyway, so. He gets the burglar. Burglar runs out, trips, falls. He gets arrested. After he gets arrested, he comes back, sues Maggie and her husband for emotional distress and claims for violation of this criminal statute, 4613. Can Maggie get the case dismissed?
Yes.
Why?
Because he was in protection of life and home.
Right. So it's another affirmative defense to this charge that the child, when he gained access to the weapon, is using the weapon in defense of people or property.
Let's jump it up a notch. It was out in the open to begin with, so the question of having access to it wasn't difficult. What if you have your guns tucked away, locked up, whatever, and then let's do two scenarios on this one. The guns are locked away, mama's and daddy's not home, child's home, they're it's okay for the child to be home at this certain particular age, but they're still under 18 years of age, and then they have to have access to the firearm to defend themselves. And then the other scenario would be, parents are gone, and the child gets the hairpin and unlocks the lock and has access to the gun.
Okay.
Two different scenarios.
So, there's two elements to this thing about criminally negligent. Okay, so you're either criminally negligent in failing to secure the firearm, or you're criminally negligent in leaving the firearm in a place to which a person knew or should have known that the child would gain access to it. Okay, if you know that the child has the code to the gun safe, right, then that makes the gun safe virtually useless.
But then how does one protect themselves, God forbid, in an emergency? You hear stories like this with a child. There was one story in particular where the child called up the parent to say, "Is it okay if I get a gun?" And under those circumstances, he said, "Yeah, go get it." But what if there's no access to the parent and the child's smart enough to know, "Hey, I need to defend myself. And I'm going to somehow break in if it's a steel safe, you don't have a combination."
Again, you're going to have a defense. If it's to defend themselves or even some kind of a believed justification, there's going to be that defense.
Okay, here's another thing. Okay. If I was an attorney, I would come up with this. I would say, okay, you think the gun is secure, but you got in one of these Walmart wooden gun cases with the particle board backing that has staples holding it in there with a little tiny lock in the front and a glass pain. A child could get a screwdriver, pry open the backside without a problem at all, and take a gun out. In the eyes of the court, is that a secured weapon?
You could have that kind of raises another issue. So a two or three even maybe. So really the standards to secure means take steps that a reasonable person would take to prevent access to a readily dischargeable firearm by a child. Okay, including but not limited placing a firearm in a locked container.
So I guess it would be determined the parent would have to make the judgment how
I think
smart
in that situation.
No,
I think in that situation when you have a child busting, breaking down a safe and busting into it and breaking into it, right? You know, that's...
Well, no, I think there's a difference because say you got a toddler and you know that the Walmart cabinet is adequate to get the job done. But all of a sudden your toddler becomes a teenager, a young teenager, and has the smarts and maybe the will and desire to get into that Walmart showcase isn't really going to be secure enough.
But do you see how the answer to this question depends on the facts?
Yes.
It's a fact question, which is always dangerous.
Clarify.
And so, because you do, if you're charged, you're going to be having to ask a jury, right, to decide this fact question.
Okay.
Fact questions go to the jury. And so you don't want to be having to ask 12 people to decide this fact question when they don't know your kid, they don't know the circumstances, they're trying to look at it from three or four different points of view.
Do you realize, to me, that sounds backwards? The fact question has to go to the jury. You would think the fact question would not have to be analyzed. It's like, this is what happened, this is the result, as compared to a gray area that the jury deems like, we reasonably believe that that person was correct, or we reasonably believe that person made a misjudgment. So it's kind of confusing, the terminology.
Right, and the standard for criminal negligence itself is a confusing term, okay? Okay? So I'm not even going to read that because it would just confuse everybody, okay? Okay? So we're going on the fact of, do we think that this was reasonable, okay, for today's purposes? Do we think this was a reasonable decision about what to do? But you also have this defense, okay, when there was an illegal entry. An entry that was illegal under the code. So,
wait, clarify. Illegal, somebody's coming in the house and you got to protect yourself, or an illegal entry of the child getting access to the gun? Which one?
Could you make an argument that your child committed theft by breaking into your safe when you've not given him consent to do so?
And there's no emergency. Or if there is emergency, too.
I think that you can raise that issue.
Okay.
I would if I was a defense attorney.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason...
You don't want this situation.
The reason we split hairs, the reason I split hairs... is because I know that they can be split in the courtroom. I know. I've been experienced with law in the courtroom. My dad, my grandparents, my brothers, the whole works. I'm inundated with this thought process of winning, spinning to winning, okay? And so whenever I come up with a situation, I've got to think three steps ahead of myself before the situation ever happens, because I know if the situation does happen, I've got high-powered attorneys out there who want to win a case and make their name big, and they're going to do whatever they can to spin it on me. So I've got to do the lower hemisphere and spin the opposite way.
And so look, there a lot of times there's no good answer to these questions, but if you leave the firearm on the desk like this and you leave the magazine right next to it, you haven't violated this statute,
right,
in my opinion. And I'm reading the language of the statute, and it's not readily dischargeable if it's not loaded, okay, at all.
I'll tell you why I'm very picky on this, Ross. What you just showed me, now people can't see what he just did, but he mocked putting a pistol on the table, and the magazine is out separate from it. And it's obvious, because if you read the black and white law, that is not a violation. But the problem I have is I go to instructor school. I got a 33-year DPS veteran talking about signage, Penal Code 30-06 and 30-07. And he talks about, you know those Ghostbuster signs, a circle with a slash in it? If somebody's got it on the front door, you know what they mean. Don't go in. And I'm like going through the roof. The signage for keeping people out is one of the most basic things. It has to say this. Because if it doesn't say that, I, as the licensed to carry holder, don't have to worry about it. So when you have that attitude of getting a black and white thing and turning it into gray, I've got to worry about every other thing in the law that's black and white being turned into gray into the courtroom.
Again, I go back to, it's not readily dischargeable. That's all I can say. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. Okay, so if it's not loaded at all, there's not one in the chamber, there's nothing loaded at all, it's not readily dischargeable.
Well, Ross, in your experience,
it's got to be readily dischargeable.
In your experience, if you're the choir and you're going into court to try to explain that to the jury, how often, in your opinion, or have you experienced it?
If you
all
want to look at it that way, let me finish the question
for the audience. How many times in your experience have you seen a black and white law get totally disregarded because of opinion and emotion? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
I mean, I had a 3-hour argument about 4 weeks ago on a statute that I thought was absolutely crystal clear. I ended up winning, but I almost felt like a bad lawyer. I was like, why did it take me 3 hours to convince the judge of this?
I know where you're coming from.
And the other side, he was a great lawyer, great talker. I mean, he's a good, great lawyer. I mean, at the end of the day, there was really no argument I could make other than judge. The words say what they say.
I'll tell you what the difference is. I've known you for a while now. I can tell your heart. Your heart is true to get it for the person who's in the right to not get screwed. But you got others out there who are doing it to make a name and make a buck. And so it all depends on your attitude going to the courtroom is why this person who you debated for 3 hours probably knew you were 100% right, but he says, you know, I got an angle here. I can do this. I'm telling you, that's what people think.
And so that's why I'm telling you, you need to be careful. I think, and it's going to be, too, like we talked about, it's going to be all circumstance-based, okay? And so, is leaving on your nightstand while you're sleeping in the house, ready in case somebody comes in, reasonable under the circumstances? I mean, under many situations, I think it probably will be, but I'm not going to tell you that because I don't know the facts. And you're going to be asking a jury to decide those facts if something like this happens, potentially. Now, these cases a lot of times don't get prosecuted because prosecutors understand that bad things happen, and it's also a proof problem. Who knows whether it was readily dischargeable or not. Okay, I think if this kind of situation happens, right, I'd be very careful about what you say to police. Okay, and
always, man, they're just a recording, and they're a recording device. Be careful what you say.
I do want to talk about at least one more thing I thought was kind of cool in this statute, and it deals with one of these defenses. And one of these defenses says, okay, that if the child's access to the firearm occurred during a time when the actor was engaged in an agricultural yes. enterprise. As you notice, this doesn't say supervised by an 18-year-old and was for hunting, sporting, and other lawful purposes. Yep. You'll also see that this word say actor. So we're talking about the parent or the adult or the whoever it is that gave access to the child, because this is the suspect. This is the person. The actor is the one we're charging. Okay, so it says the child's access to the firearm occurred during a time when the actor was engaged in an agricultural enterprise. Agriculture means floriculture, means growing flowers, livestock, crops, poultry, forestry, wine. Anything to deal with outside like that is going to be agricultural enterprise.
And why would it be necessary? Snakes, hogs, things of that nature?
What I'm saying is I don't even know what this is really going to... I don't know how broad we can take this.
My general opinion of it would be you got a young lad there work for dad, and you know, here, son, take this just in case you see a snake or there's a hog destroying crops, blah, blah, blah.
That's the way I take it, but the actor, not the child.
I'm confused on that. Clarify.
The
that
actor would be the defendant.
Okay, gotcha. Because
so it would be, in your scenario, the parent.
Yeah.
Was the parent engaged in an agricultural enterprise?
To some degree, because he has hired someone, quote unquote.
Or did the legislature mean what you said? Did it mess up and put actor when it really meant the child?
That's what the jury would decide, wouldn't it?
That would be a question of law. And so
is that a question of fact?
A question of law, right? What the interpretation of that word means was going to be up to some judge somewhere. And I think the key words in this case may even hinge on engaged in. Was the parent whoever actually engaged at the time that this happened? Were they engaged?
We're not talking marriage either.
And did you know, so even under the finance code, right, and under the tax codes, agricultural enterprise can be financially related.
And in this neck of the woods, this is very important to know. Because, I mean, how many people do you know working a tractor that are under 18
years? And so was the legislature really trying to give protection to farmers and agricultural folks out there because of exactly the reason you said? Because sometimes dad and son go out, one gets on this tractor, another gets on this tractor, goes into this field, and this field, son takes a shotgun, dad takes a shotgun or rifle, and if something happens, they don't want dad getting in trouble because those are necessary parts.
Well, sidebar note, I heard this one time, I don't know if it might be in a different state or not, is there any regulation or legality about having a person under 18 years of age riding tractor equipment?
Lifeline, Rick Todd.
I don't know. That's why it's a sidebar. Okay, look,
I'm sure other people know the answer. That time.
Let's go to this negligent and accidental discharges. Off the top of your head, I know I threw this on you. Can you explain the two? Because I can. I just want to see if you have a legal aspect of it.
You want me to explain like in a hypothetical?
Yeah, hypothetical, because I've got actualities.
Okay, so a person. Oh man, what's the one where you had? You'd go ahead because I'm going to say the same example that you're going to say.
I'll explain.
I'm going to say the same one you're going
to
say.
I had two situations happen to me. Okay, I'm extremely cautious with what I do, constantly to the point of almost to a fault. Okay, constantly check, multiple times checking. But here's what happens: there's negligent discharge, accidental discharge. Example number one: accidental discharge. I'm working a handgun, doing it in the step-by-step manner that you're supposed to handle it when loading it. Okay, this happened to be a PA-63 in 380 caliber. It's got a decocking mechanism. It's a double-action handgun. The magazine goes in. The slide is racked. When you rack the slide, the hammer is cocked. Okay, point finger off the trigger, point it in a safe direction. The decocking mechanism is pushed down to release the hammer but not strike the firing pin. A mechanical mishap in the gun, worn out parts, caused the gun, even when dropping the disconnector, the decocker, caused the gun to fire. I did absolutely nothing wrong. I had an accidental discharge because of a mechanical failure unknown to me. Negligence would be, I'm running around one in the chamber, the gun's off safe, okay? I didn't have this. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm going to explain the difference with the negligent. Negligent is where you, the gun is loaded, the safety's off, your finger's on the trigger, you're running around, and you hit a bump, and you pull the trigger. You should have known the weapon should have been on safe, either not chambered, don't put your finger on the trigger. That's negligence. You're doing it wrong, okay?
I think a good attorney would argue that the second scenario is reckless, and that even though it may have been an accidental discharge, it would have been negligent if you were pointing the weapon in a wrong direction.
Well, true, yeah. You always don't want to point anything you're not willing
to
destroy.
And so even though that would have been a mechanical failure, right, it could still be negligence, right, depending on where you were pointing the weapon.
That's true.
What you were doing with the weapon at the time that the mechanical failure happened. Just because the mechanical failure was an accident, you would have known, a reasonable person would have known that this is a deadly weapon, right?
Don't
at all times,
issue,
anything
yeah.
could happen, you need to point it down. I'm not saying that that would be the case. I'm just saying I could see a good lawyer saying that. Okay? And, you know, again, fact question.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it is. Sometimes it's a hard question to determine whether it's really an accident or whether it was negligent. And that's what I'm saying. That's why you need to make sure that you're trained in how to use your firearm. You need to make sure that you're careful in how you use it. And two, what if you got an office? Here's the thing that scares me, right? I got weapons in my office, right? Mainly because it's my home office. And so if somebody breaks in, I want to be able to protect myself.
Right.
Well, I get family law clients all the time. What if I get some snotty-nosed kid, my parents and I go back to the back to estate planning, and I didn't know a kid came in, maybe my secretary went to the bathroom for a second, and this kid goes roaming around and finds a weapon in my office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so I'm paranoid about that. I try to make sure that,
well, the problem
that
with
we
you
know
is,
where these kids are the whole time.
The problem with you and me is we're put on higher standards because of the positions we hold.
Right? I don't know that we are, legally speaking, but I think socially, I think somebody, you know, would
you should
would come,
have known, yeah.
Yeah, and so somebody would probably say something like
That's why I'm always saying, I'm always trying to be three steps ahead because I know how they're going to spin it back on me. Even though it's an accident. Accidents happen. But I should, because in the position I'm in, anticipate one to two or three accidents ahead and try to avoid that potential problem.
And so, especially in today's world, you're going to have all the wolves coming after you.
That's right. All right, look, Ross, we're on the clock right now. So, look, we're sponsored. This segment is sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. We can't thank him enough. Rick, thank you very much for your continued support. And we have the awesome, great, extraordinary attorney Benton Ross Watson here to assist as well with Rick Dodd. So tell them how they can get a hold of you, Ross.
And you can get a hold of me at 105 East Main Street here in Cameron, or call my office for an appointment in Houston, College Station, anywhere in Central Texas at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Again, we love talking to folks. We get questions all the time. And so feel free to email me, because we love talking about the issues and maybe getting the word out even to the legislature. Email me at benton@watson.legal. That's Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N, @watson.legal. No.com. Make sure if you do email me, leave your phone number, because sometimes I can't email back. I just want to stress that.
I'm getting a lot of comments on this segment, and all the segments, actually, the whole show in its entirety. But they like the interaction and the information, and then also the YouTube videos, so that they can go back and look at it over and over again and take notes. So I just want you to know that a lot of people are appreciating that.
Well, there's a lot
here. Why don't you stand by for a second, Trent? Let me keep going here. I'm going to knock out these dates that are coming up, and then we'll take a break and hit Janae, okay? So here we are. Stand by, Ross. 4th of July was Wednesday. I told you earlier in the show, I'm bartending at Shaw's Barbecue, and I was there, and we had a fantastic time. Really cool fireworks. Chamber of Commerce there in Belton allowed them to have the fireworks, and it was a great time. A lot of people showed up. Even though it rained a little bit in the beginning, it calmed down, and it was a pretty good night. So that was a great deal, and God bless America, 4th of July, USA all the way. Fantastic. And that's from the heart. That's not for a 4th of July sale. July 13th. That's next Friday. It's the next round robin. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is that if you have a license to carry, especially, to take opportunity of this round robin competition. It's a great way to enhance your skills. It's a lot of fun. You get to shoot different guns. And if you luck out that night, you might walk away with a gun or some other type of prize. The 20th, the third Friday of every month, is ladies' night. If you are a lady, you get to shoot free that night. Range time is free. Now, at July 28th, I'm going to set up another LTC class. I had a cancellation on another program I'm doing, so I'm going to open it up to a license to carry class. That's a Saturday at 2 p.m. It's $60 for new personnel. It's $40 if you have a license already and you want to refresh what you know. I've had people call me about that and asking about it, and I think it's a good idea to do this. So there are your dates. The 13th, round robin, the 20th, ladies' night. And the 28th will be the next license to carry class. I'll have it posted on the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the license to carry page. Trey, let's take us out with a break. When we come back, we're going to have the delicious Janae Goodman. We're going to be talking about chips. Follow up after salsas and dips. Talk to you later.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. The good things in life. Trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Vicki Goza of Mark Burns Label Funeral Home in Cameron talks about being just a phone call away.
We are at a family's disposal 24/7. You don't get an answering machine. You may be talking with the family late at night or thought of something. You can pick up that phone and call and know that you're going to talk to one of us.
Call anytime, 254-697-3661.
You will feel like you are the only family that we're working with.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. Aaronsgunshop.com.
Hello, my lovelies, and here we are with an additional helping of Tactical Snacking with me, Janae Goodman.
Last week we dunked into summer salsas and dips. So let's see what else we've got to serve up. If you happen to miss last week's satisfying salsas, check it out at the homepage of thecultivatedclassroom.com. Shout out to the leftover ricotta cheese in my fridge, because that's what inspired this first recipe for fruit dip. Sure, fruit does well on its own, but why not elevate it? For this sweet, fluffy dip, you'll need 1 cup of ricotta cheese, 1 8-ounce package of cream cheese, 1 teaspoon of vanilla or raspberry extract, the zest from 1 small lime or lemon, 1 cup of powdered sugar, and 1 tablespoon of milk or light cream. Using a hand mixer, cream together your cup of ricotta, your cream cheese, your teaspoon of vanilla extract, and lemon or lime zest. Once combined, add in 1 cup of powdered sugar and blend on low. Once incorporated, you can add in your tablespoon of milk or cream to thin out your dip. Serve with your favorite fruit cuts like strawberries, sliced peaches, and melons. And now on to the savory stuff. Aioli is one of my favorite dips. And you want to know a secret? Aioli is just a fancy word for flavored mayonnaise. If you ever wanted to make your own version at home, you're in luck. For 1 cup of garlic aioli, you'll need 1 cup of real mayo, not Miracle Whip, the juice of 1 small lemon, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder or garlic paste, 1 tablespoon of minced herbs, using dill, chives, and parsley is my favorite, and salt to taste. Simply mix all of your ingredients together and serve with vegetable sticks or fries. Feel free to adjust this recipe based on your taste buds. For this next recipe, all you have to say is pimento cheese, please. Oh, you're so kind. To make your own, you'll need 2 cups of shredded cheddar, 1/2 cup of real mayo, 1 8-ounce block of softened cream cheese, 1/2 cup of drained diced pimentos, 1 teaspoon of dried dill, 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, and salt to taste. Whip your ingredients together using the paddle attachment and a mixer on medium speed. If you lack a mixer, you can use a wooden spoon instead. Serve with crackers, chips, or vegetable sticks. So now that you have all the dip ideas I can offer you, what will you eat them with? I've got a few ideas. I love making chips at home. To make your own tortilla chips, preheat your oil to 365 degrees. While you wait for your oil to heat, cut your tortillas in quarters to make triangles. Place them in heated oil and fry for about 2 minutes, flipping once halfway through cooking. Your chips should be crispy on both sides. Drain on a paper towel and sprinkle with salt before serving. For potato or plantain chips at home, I highly encourage you to invest in a mandolin slicer. You can find them for as cheap as $10, and they're well worth the price for the perfect slice. If you're making potato or plantain chips, you'll want to slice them directly into the oil. If you let these starches sit out, they tend to stick together and oxidize. Putting them in water will result in them being too soft. I've used red potatoes to make my chips, but you can use russets if you like. For plantain chips, make sure that you get green plantains. They're starchier than their yellow counterpart. To make your starchy chips, you'll once again want to heat the oil to 365 degrees. Fry for about 2 to 3 minutes, flipping halfway through to ensure that they're crisp all the way through. So you don't need to make your own chips. That's cool. You peep those chips at the back of the pantry or on top of the fridge, only to realize that they've gone stale. Don't throw them away just yet. You can pop your chips in a 400-degree oven for about 3 minutes to give them new life. Did you hear about one of the latest discoveries made about double dipping? Recent studies conclude party dips and spreads can be a breeding ground for bacteria and viruses. But that's something I'm willing to bet you already knew. Here's where it gets scary. These bacteria include those responsible for diseases like norovirus and herpes. The tiniest bit of saliva can make the difference. So how do you diminish your chances? Serve your sauces with spoons or ladles to avoid a party foul. If you ever need a refresher on these or other recipes, feel free to shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com, where I'm waiting on the other side to offer you plenty of culinary advice and willing to take your suggestions for topics you'd like for me to share. Be sure to join me next week for a special request on oils and fats. But until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's a wonderful Saturday out. It's not quite 110 degrees like it's been the last couple of weeks. Some good news today and some really great news. Hope everybody realizes it's only 20 days to the start of NFL training camps. That means it's only 27 days to the first NFL football game. So we got something to look forward to. Hey, everybody, I thought of something about what I was going to talk about today. And I was looking at some different things that I thought might be neat to know. You know, we've talked about everything in here. We have talked about how to secure your home, how to get along with your neighbor. We've talked about different drugs. We've talked about how to take care of yourself when you're on vacation. But you know what we haven't talked about? We haven't talked about what cops know. Now, I realize some of you may say not much, but there's some things that I think are really unique. You know, I'm usually caught off guard when by such a question is, what is it like to be a cop? It's like asking a random stranger, what is the meaning of life? And if we can answer that, then we've got everything fixed up. The oversimplification of the question usually has me muttering something along the lines of, it's crazy, you know, and the things we see. You know, the things that a police officer sees, there are things in my life that I've seen in my 44 years that I'd give anything if I could just erase out of my mind. But you can't erase them. They'll stay there forever. And some of the things that I've seen in my career, some of the things I've seen in my lifetime, I see every single night when I lay down to go to bed and say my prayers. So, you know, it's a challenging subject to talk about. I believe that an easier way to explain is to rephrase the question. And here's the question, the way I'm going to rephrase it. Instead of what's it like to be a cop, I'm going to tell you what do cops actually know. You know, and this list should be universal to all cops who have done the job longer than just a few years. Now, most rookies, most officers in today's world haven't experienced some of these things. And for the rookies out there, it's time. In time, they will learn the same thing. You know, we see all the TV shows that glamorize cops. And there's one on right now that is especially, it's just, man, it just goes all over me when I watch it. And yeah, I watch it too. And that's the SWAT show that comes on, I think, on Thursday nights. You know, I realize all the glitz, the glamour, the excitement, but it's really not like that in true life. Some of the things they do just don't happen. But people in the general public thinks that's the way it happens. So unfortunately, a lot of times cops get a bad name from that. A lot of times the cops get a bad rap from the way things are done in real life. So here are some 10 truths that all cops know. And now, I apologize ahead of time if some of these sound like they're a little bit redundant or if they sound like they're a little bit off the chain. But the first one, the one that's most important, is real evil does exist in this world. A lot of people already know this, but they don't really know it. Some very close friends of mine, while watching the evening news, will blurt out in shock when they hear things such as, "Ooh, that's a ghastly crime that took place." As a cop, most of these headlines don't even appear on my radar screen, to be honest with you. You know, people ask me, "What do you think about this?" Well, most of the time, I don't even know because it's not something you want to think about. right or wrong, cops become numb to it. Sometimes you don't have that feeling of ghastly horror that you should have because you see it too often. Unless it's in the city where I live in, or there's a chance I'll get called in, or maybe it'll affect me, a lot of times we don't pay attention to it. You know, a lot of people, the first thing they do when they hear a siren go, they'll look and see where that siren's going. And in a cop's world, especially a seasoned cop's world, you wish the sirens would turn off. Secondly, and this is one that a lot of people don't like to hear, but human beings are violent creatures. Most good people believe that violence is just something that other people or groups can't control. Cops know that ordinary people, if threatened or provoked in the wrong way, will become savage and have no mercy against their fellow man. Even the nicest people are not immune to keeping their monsters in check. That's just human reality. I guarantee you there's not a one of you out there, if you saw somebody hurting one of your kids, you wouldn't become a monster and do what you have to do to protect your children. There are bad people out there, and that's something that cops know. Number three, and this is one that a lot of people overlook, but not all bad people are bad. Not all good people are good. Although we love to put people in boxes and label them for our own convenience, cops know different, folks. I've witnessed this many so-called times where the bad people show great acts of kindness, and the good people, the one that you think are going to be on the whatever political agenda it is, or maybe walk out of church, they're good to your face, but they have an underside. They have an underbelly. You know, they might be good to give millions of dollars to someone, but to help somebody who's really struggling on the street, they turn that deaf cheek. People are different, and that's something that they all know. You know, I've witnessed many so-called bad people show great acts of kindness again, and good people treat others like you know what. Cops know this, and they want you to know that too. And the next one, nothing good happens after midnight. Now, how many times have you heard that from your mom and dad? Nothing good happens after midnight. Well, honestly, almost nothing does. Your chance of being robbed, shot, beat, or killed rises exponentially after the clock strikes midnight or late mornings. Cops know this, especially cops who work the graveyard shift. Ever wonder why they call it graveyard shift? Nothing good happens. Number five, most people would break the law if they knew they could get away with it. Now, I'm not sure about that, but there are a lot of people that if they knew that they could get away with it, they would break the law. Now, before you get mad at me, before you fire back at me, think about this as a minute. Some people retort about being as pure as the white-driven snow. You've heard that. Well, I'm not talking about committing violent felonies here. I'm talking about little tiny offenses that have no victim but are illegal nonetheless. What are some of those? Well, have you ever seen somebody who doesn't want to be patient enough to wait at a red light and then cut across a corner to get away or to save them a couple of minutes? Or someone who sees the light turning red and is still yellow and they gun it, Ethel, to get there? Things like that. And it could be even worse. How about the people? And think about this a minute. You know, here in Texas, we've been under an awful drought. And in some cities, they have the passage where you can't water during certain days. Well, I guarantee you, people are still watering during those days. Is that breaking the law? Absolutely. And number six, and this is one that I think is just absolutely hilarious that I agree with one wholeheartedly. There are a lot of really dumb people in this world. And some people say, well, you're included. Well, so be it. Shoe fits. I know this may shock some of you, but sadly, it's true. Cops know this. After dealing with this special segment of society on a regular basis, most cops can only collapse into their favorite chair after they get home and dream of a world where people aren't dumb. You know, I give you a little story. At my previous job as police chief, not here in Cameron, but the one before that, we had a rancher who ranched emus. Now, think about this, emus. Those are big old birds. Well, I had a lady from the town that we were in call in just raising all kinds of cane. She was using every other word that wasn't supposed to be used by people. And she said, you've got to come get this big chicken out of my front yard. And I'm thinking, chicken, big chicken. She said, yes, it's 6 foot tall. It's a big chicken. You know, sometimes people are dumb, folks. If they can't tell the difference between a chicken and an ostrich or an emu, then they're probably dumb. It's kind of like that, you might be a redneck story. Number seven, and this is one that is really, really important to me, but being a victim is our new national pastime. No one is ever to blame for their circumstances or the reasons why they're stuck in a situation. It is always somebody else's fault and never their own, especially their children. We are, have become a nation of victims. And so at some point, people's got has got to take the bull by the horns. They've got to understand that just because something doesn't go right, that doesn't make you a victim. A victim is someone that has been truly wrong, truly hurt, and truly put out, not somebody who just doesn't like what's going on. Number eight, and this is an important one, folks, and all cops know this, rich or poor, black or white, we honestly don't care. I don't care when I was a cop, an active cop, whether you're black, brown, purple, or polka dot. What you do is what makes the difference. Some will find this hard to follow and swallow, folks. And I know a lot of people that are listening will find that hard to swallow. But it doesn't make any difference what color you are. The only thing that would guarantee that our contact will go smoothly is you. We don't know in most chances who's driving a car. But you can control what happens in that contact. You want to act like a you-know-what, then you may get treated like a you-know-what. And it's like I've heard many people say on this show, and I've heard the lawyers say before, the side of the road is not the place to argue something. You know, it doesn't make a difference if you're rich or poor. The laws apply to everybody equally, or they're supposed to. You know, and, you know, if you believe that in the whole race angle is what makes an all cop the kind of cop he is, then, folks, I'm going to tell you, you're being fooled. And that's the end of the story. And number nine, most of us have been doing the job so long we have forgotten what it's like to be normal. And most cops are like that, folks. We know that we're weird, and no need to remind us. You don't need to tell us how weird we are on the side of the street, because we know that. When you see nothing, and 99% of the time, but hate and discontent, that's what you become sometimes. You know, and I think that is really important, especially for young officers to understand. You know, we see more in 1 week than most human beings see in an entire lifetime. The hate, the discontent, the hurt, the injuries, the way people treat each other. And that kind of has a way of being cynical to the officer. So, folks, do me a favor. When you see a cop out there acting in a certain way, understand he may have had a bad day. Everybody gets to have a bad day. And last but not least, folks, especially in this one, and I want you to please, please, please listen to this one right now. Because everywhere we go, this is all we hear about on TV. You know, and it doesn't make any difference what color you are. It doesn't make any difference what race you are. But this is all we hear about. Police officers honestly don't want to shoot you. I've overheard a family member say, one of my own family members say once to me, that she is sure that there are cops out there that hope they get to shoot somebody every day. Never met that person if there is, folks. And let me tell you why. There's two reasons. Number one, a statement like that is just reckless and altogether dumb. And I told her she was dumb, and she was a relative of mine. Why is that? Why cops don't want to shoot somebody? And I'm going to be honest with you, because we're lazy. That's way too much paperwork to have to do. If you shoot somebody, number one, you're going to lose your gun. Number two, you're going to get put off work for a while. Number three, you have a chance of, number one, going crazy, because nobody wants to shoot someone. 44 years, folks, I've shot one person in my career, and it bothered me to no end. But the guy that was with me, my partner, we also understand that had we not done that, we wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. So not to mention the fact that the national news and everybody else will spiral into our town if it happens. Trust me, folks, cops don't want to shoot somebody. If they shoot somebody, there is a reason behind it, and that reason is for juries to decide. Cops have to make a split-hair, split decision in less than a fraction of a second whether they want to go home or whether they're going to protect themselves. We don't just shoot to be shooting. We shoot for a reason. Now, there are some out there, and I'll be, give you credit with it, there are some out there that have made that mistake, but the majority don't. So, folks, I hope you understand that even though there are a lot of officers out there that have gotten limelight lately, a lot of officers that have been on the news for whatever reason, the majority of cops are good people. They're different because they see different. They have to see things different. They also have seen way too much in their lifetime. So, until next week, folks, I hope you have a wonderful, great week. Stay out of trouble. Be safe. Drive safe. Tell your mama hello and take care.
Not everyone believes in the same way or has the same customs and cultures as everyone else.
Vicki Goza of Mark Burns Level Funeral Home in Cameron talks about individual needs.
We can make everything very personalized. It's not a package A, a package B, or a package C. It's totally about the family and what their needs are.
Mark Burns Level Funeral Home in Cameron, serving Central Texas families since 1908.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Capolito Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolito Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolito Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolito Dodd Krebs.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. I'm jamming out with the music here. Sorry, I just didn't want to get back on the air until I heard a couple of beats. It's July 7, July 7, 2018. We've got about another 36 minutes to go. We are our product spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz is the owner. Awesome guy. Known him for years. Got a great shop there and got a great staff. You got Clint, Mike, Dennis. They got pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, knives, accessories, all sorts of good stuff. The building itself is pretty unique, too. The floors squeak out of oak. The brick walls covered with partial plaster gives that great Western effect feeling. You open up the door, you hear the bell jingle, and there's like, hey, how can we help you? It's just a great story. You need to check it out. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page and look at the short video of me holding the UTS-15 shotgun, 12-gauge pump shotgun. It is awesome. And I've got a review here from the AmericanRifleman.org. And I'm going to read it, and you can look at the video while I'm reading it and listen and multitask, okay? So this was online, theamericanrifleman.org. It's the UTS-15 shotgun, and it reads as follows. I broke it down in segments. You can never go wrong with a shotgun as part of your home defense strategy, and a shotgun such as the UTS-15 ups the ante when it comes to one of the conventional shotgun's most glaring deficiencies, ammunition capacity. The brainchild of Ted Hatfield, a former staff editor for American Rifleman, the UTS-15 not only combines the dependability of a manually operated pump action with the compactness of a bullpup, it offers a total onboard ammunition capacity of 15 shells. Deciphering the I want to read this because I thought this was pretty interesting. Deciphering the UTS-15's name reveals aspects of its design, manufacture, and capabilities. The U is derived from United States, home of its aforementioned designer and where it's assembled. And the T is from Turkey, home of Hatfield's manufacturing partner. The UTS-15 is actually assembled in the United States using parts produced both in Turkey and the United States. The S is for, you guessed it, shotgun. And 15 is the combined number of shells that it holds in its twin tubular magazines and chamber. The magazines can be used together or separately, meaning the gun will feed from both automatically alternating side to side, or you can set the gun to feed from one tube only. For example, you could have buckshot in one tube and slugs in the other, and then fire only the ammunition appropriate for the situation. Selecting magazines is as simple as moving a lever on top of the gun, which takes a fraction of a second. Go ahead and take the call, Trey.
Mr. Johnson.
Okay. All right, this is Aaron's Gun Shop. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Mr. Johnson, what's going on today, buddy?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. What are you calling for? What can I help
you? What am I calling for? I wanted to ask y'all something about the difference. Why is there against the law to carry a sawed-off shotgun?
Because the Gun Act of 68, is it? Says that guns of that size are illegal. So it's a technicality, a legal technicality. It says if a shotgun is under a certain size, under 18 inches in the barrel, and an overall length of under 26 inches, it is an illegal shotgun. So why is it illegal? Why do they deem it that way? Because I guess they felt it was a devastating weapon that is more concealable if it's sawed off. And so they made the standard shotgun of 18-inch barrel with an overall length of 26 inches. So that's basically all it is, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. Well, they always told me that it was against the law. Is it against the law to have a sawed-off shotgun in your home?
Yes.
It is?
Unless you have the appropriate tax stamp to go with it. Now, you can saw off a shotgun to 18-plus inches from a 26-inch barrel. You can do that. But you can't saw an 18-inch barrel down to a 12-inch barrel. That would be totally out. Now, I'll tell you what. If you want to be legal about it, you go to ANC Firearms and pick yourself up a Mossberg Shockwave. That's an incredible shock. You know what's funny? I've actually got it right here. Hold on.
Yeah.
I've got this shotgun. It looks like a sawed-off shotgun, but it's technically not called a shotgun. It's called a firearm because it's so short. Its overall length is 26 inches, but the barrel is only 14 inches long. But it's legal because of the way it was produced and manufactured. So that's what you need to get. Get something that's legal. Just do a 44-73. Boom, you're done.
Yeah, okay. I just wondered there.
That's a good question. I'm sure a lot of people ask. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Back to the UTS-15. The UTS-15 is a tactical-style shotgun with a bullpup design whose short overall length ensures easy maneuverability in close quarters. The gun's pistol grip allows it to be held in one hand, ready to fire, while the other hand is free to open doors, turn on light switches, or deflect an aggressor. I teach all this stuff in my classes, too. The pistol grip also moves, gives more control and a tighter hold on the gun in the event it is grabbed during a scuffle. The gun's construction makes use of fiber-reinforced injected molded polymer to keep its weight down. It is only 28.3 inches long, with a flush mount choke, and weighs 6 pounds 13 ounces. It is chambered for 3-inch 12-gauge shells, which allows the use of 2.5-inch and 2 3/4-inch shells as well. The 18.5-inch smooth barrel is threaded for a screw-in chokes, having the Beretta thread pattern. That opens up full range of options of ammunition use and powder disbursement. The gun comes with a flush kit, cylinder bore, choke. There is also cylinder bore, ported tactical breaching choke that was included as an option with the shotgun. The UTS-15 is designed to be used with sights. Excuse me. There is a top rail that will accept sights or optics. Anything that is designed for an AR-style rifle should work fine, as the rail is, and offset are similar. An optic that is around 1.6 inches from the top of the rail to the center of the optic works well. The UTS-15 also has an optional integral light and laser system to illuminate the target or help aim in poor light. It mounts below the barrel, and there is a laser, and the laser is non-adjustable. The stock's length of pull is slightly more than 12 inches, and I personally like a 12-inch pull as compared to a 13. It's amazing how a 1-inch difference makes a big difference. And they're doing, and the reason I like that is the comment they're making here, the ideal being that it can be used while wearing a bulky clothing or a tactical vest. Many experts believe the pump-action shotgun is the best design for home defense. This type of shotgun is reliable. The gun is a lot of fun to shoot, and with its radical appearance, it is sure to gather a crowd anytime you break it out at the shooting range. It's not limited to tactical work either, and it makes for a unique and interesting hunting gun. The UTS-15 is anything but a run-of-the-mill. If the user is willing to learn how to operate it according to somewhat unique manual of arms and with appropriate alacrity, it is reliable and fast. In addition, its huge magazine capacity potentially makes it a fearsome home defense shotgun. Then, of course, there's the cool factor, which I think the shotgun has over any other, hands down. No matter if it's hunting, target shooting, or protecting your family, the UTS-15 offers a unique set of traits few other arms can match. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer or give them a call, 254-983-4417. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and check out the video of the UTS-15. And call them up and go ahead and purchase that shotgun. You'll love it. It's a lot of fun. And we can't thank ANC Firearms enough for supporting the show. Remember, it's a circle of life. They support me. You support them. They support me. I stay on the air, okay? That's how it works. Now, Trey, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to have our special guest, Butch Downey. And for you three people who don't know who they are, who he is, we're going to tell you on the other side. So we'll see you when we get back.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fault Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fault Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, July 7, 2018. We've got about another 24 minutes of the show. And to my left, for you three people out there hearing my radio voice who do not know who Butch Downey is, that's who I have as a special guest. Butch, how you doing?
Good.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Why don't you tell everybody, say who you are, and just give a general idea of what you do. Just those three people who don't know might go, oh, yeah, that's right. What do you do, Butch?
Well, I custom bale hay, do a little weed spraying, fertilize work.
Just a little, huh? You do probably the whole county almost.
No.
Now, I'll tell you what, Butch, the reason I wanted you on, I've been wanting you on for a while, but you were down in the shop yesterday, last night, and we're doing some shooting. We were doing some 25-yard shooting and seeing how bad our eyes are getting and all this kind of stuff. But I was saying, hey, you know, let's get you on here because you're a perfect example of a person who just starting out with handguns or knows how to shoot a handgun but wasn't really into it like you are now. And you've gone through a process and a phase. And there's all these different things that we do down in the shop to enhance our skills. So I thought, let's get you on. We'll talk about it. You're a live experiment still in the process of getting better and better. It's amazing. I've watched you grow and develop. And it's amazing how you've done so well. So what are your thoughts on that? When you first started coming, how'd you get to go there and what made you want to do it and things like that?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, first of all. And then Jalapeno invited me out.
Okay.
And
talking to Mike.
And I was really interested in getting my license, and I wasn't very aware of handguns. I've had rifles all my life, but then handling a pistol was a lot more experience than what I had under my belt. And I wanted to be safe. And then I came to you and started my license to carry at that time.
Well, I want to say something up front. We're going to go forward and then backwards again, okay?
Okay.
When you first came out, you were not that good with a handgun.
No, I was terrible. I was unsafe and terrible.
And now you've won the competition how many times? I can't remember, but
four or five times.
That's a major, and I'll tell you, it takes, you need to know what you're doing to win the competition.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so that's a big compliment to you.
You have to practice. You got to practice, for my mindset was to be safe, first of all, and then I wanted to be better at what I was doing. And you must get out. You must get out and practice. You must get out and shoot a little. And it's good to go with a friend, and you get to know people. And at Aaron's, people, there's a lot of nice people that go that will help you if you need help. Everybody needs a coach. I needed a coach. And you must go and ask questions. There's nobody there that's going to make fun of you or laugh at you, because I've been through it, and they're there to help you. People like you, Russell, there's Zoltan, there's other people that come, mm-hmm. Mark, and there's my mind went blank.
It doesn't matter. There's just so many people. What I've noticed, I mean, I've been to a lot of gun ranges, and
Mike.
I was just gonna say, Mike has this term that I like. He says clinical. Too clinical, you know. You got the lab coats on and everything, and it's true. You go to some of these ranges, and they're just so into the dollar. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying, it's dress right, dress. It's got to be this way or the highway. And I'm thinking, you know, at Aaron's, we're safety, we're like that. But we have a conversation. We took the lab coats off, and we're in the break room now, having a nice time together and enjoying the conversation, sharing techniques and stories, and going out there and challenging one another. So it's a totally different atmosphere.
Yeah, it's fun, and you can make it fun, you know. And it's, you just have to get out and go, and you meet new people, and you learn new techniques, and try them and see what's best for you. And not every gun is perfect for each person. You have to basically shoot and ask questions, and people will help you to find the right gun that will work for you the best.
Speaking of the right gun, I remember when you first came out, you had a handgun, maybe you had another handgun, but there was really no thought process into it. And you really couldn't have a thought process because you didn't have the elements of experience to know what to pick.
Right.
But as time went on, I could see your guns changing and changing and changing into the streamlined, efficient, effective, accurate guns that they are now. And it's amazing, man, when you learn all the little tricks, don't you think?
Oh, you're... I've taken some home invasion classes from you, and of course, you've helped me properly... hold the gun proper, but you have to
pause on that real quick. What do you think is more important, Butch? Do you think sights on the gun and your ability to sight in the gun for self-defense purposes, I'm talking about, or the grip is more important?
Well, I think the grip would be more important, because if you really needed the gun, hopefully that you don't never need it, first of all, but the grip would be more important, because you're not going to be looking at the sights.
That's right. The gun's straight in your hands. You just, that's 90% of the battle right there.
Holding a gun proper.
And so what would you say would be some of your top things that you learned in your progression of learning to the point of your winning? I mean, we never stop learning, of course, but what do you think some of the top things that you've learned?
Well, your finger.
Well, explain what you mean by that.
Well, it takes, you know, people go to shooting and practicing, and people, I think, would be their worst enemy if they do not use their finger proper, and because you're going to either pull it or anticipate, and you have to really practice to learn to squeeze the trigger instead of you taking the slack out and then you want to snap it, and that's going to pull you one direction or the other. And you just got to continually to learn how to squeeze the trigger, and dry firing, take the clip out, put it in another room, make sure your gun is totally empty, and practice your dry firing.
Since you've taken the courses, you took the license to carry class, you took in the seminars, home defense, invasion, the general purpose one, and the rifle one, you know I push actions, the different types of actions, the double action, the single action, double action only, single action self, self-cocking mechanisms. And when you understand that, and you're talking about the trigger pull, wasn't that a major learning block, realizing the different types of actions, the length of trigger pulls, the trigger resets, and how it comes into play with that trigger finger?
Oh, yes. In these competitions, shooting different guns, you will learn different types of trigger pulls. The competition is really awesome, I think, and it will really help you advance. And because you go shooting different guns, mm-hmm. and each one of them is different trigger pull.
The elements of the competition, the reason I designed it the way it was for battlefield pickups. And what I mean by that is, if you're in a firefight for some reason and your weapon goes down or you lose it or whatever, but there happens to be a stray one on the street, you pick it up and you use it. The competition enables you to go through five different guns. It puts you under a time constraint. You have to get all the shots done within a certain amount of time, and there's an accuracy. So you've got accuracy, time, unfamiliarity with the weapons, and putting those combinations together make out for some awesome training.
It's really good training, and different. It's almost, it's really not different scenarios, but then again, it really is, because each gun is different. And so each gun is a different, when you pick it up, and whether if it's a revolver or automatic, it's going to operate different than the gun you're accustomed to or you've been practicing with. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's a different scenario every time you pick up one, because it's going to be a little different than the other.
I'm noticing here, we're going to make this a video, and everybody's just going to see a microphone in your face. I need to move this out of the way here. There we go.
You can't hear him otherwise.
Oh.
That's why I moved it.
How's that? Do an audio check on that. Give me a... Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
We okay? All right, just stay close to the mic, Bush. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, we got a competition coming up next Friday. And, Butch, you prepped and ready to go for that one?
Well, I hope so. You know, of course, I try to shoot every week. And I try to shoot either at home or come to your range and to do a little shooting. And, of course, everybody always wants to win, but it's really hard to win.
Isn't it true? We've got some excellent shooters, but they can trip up, and you can have somebody who's an okay shooter actually pull it out and win.
Oh, there's some very good shooters that's coming.
And I'm proud to say they are homegrown.
Yes. I've witnessed myself several people that come. Lee, they started out like I did, and not very good, and now they're hard to beat.
The biggest success for people like that is they take out of their head what they think they know and are willing to listen to somebody or somebodies who've been there and learn the little tricks of the trade. And that's another point I wanted to bring up. In the time that you've been there, there's lots of people who give you information. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
No.
But I'm a firm believer you need a mentor.
Yes.
Or somebody who you look to, and you're going to go with that basic course of action. And once you become proficient with that mentor's method, and he's taught you well, then, of course, you go out and you're always gleaning, you're always learning, you're always picking up, because I know I am. I'm always fine-tuning what I've got. And I think that you've done the same thing. Would you not agree?
Yes. Whether if it's football, basketball, golf, everybody has a coach. And this is one that where you need a mentor or a coach to help you along. And you've helped me, Mike, Russell, they've all helped me tremendously. And without their help and your help, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today. But
you're a major part of it, too, because you're willing to put in the effort. So.
Well, yeah, you got to be, first of all, with a gun, safety, you can't preach it enough. And I knew when I started that I wasn't, but that was my main goal, was to be safe. And then it became more like these the round robins, and it became more of a sport, and then I wanted to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And
I want to make a comment about you that few have been able to get to at this point. And that is, your ability to recover after a malfunction.
Oh, yeah, you got to practice.
There are people who are still on the learning curve. When they have a malfunction on the gun, they'll put the gun down and move to the next one. Because you're confident in your abilities, not only do you have a malfunction, you clear the malfunction, you get it back up to firing, you shoot accurately, move on, and are still within the time allotted because you've done your training. You understand the mechanics. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why my formula is so good. It's mindset plus mechanics equals response time. If your mindset is right and you're focused, and you understand the mechanics of the weapon and the generalities of all the different types of weapons, you can put the two together and your response time will be much shorter than somebody who is not familiar with those two. So mindset, you're willing to learn. Mechanics, you have learned. And response time will be equal to those two put together.
You got to be willing to put the time in. You got to be willing to go and try to make it a fun or a sport like, you know, it was like becoming a sport for me, but it was fun. And when you win one, well, you really get into it then, you know. And it brings the high, really high, you know, and makes you want to get better. You know, I wanted to get better.
And what's happening is we're home growing a whole bunch of fantastic shooters. So the way it works, everybody, is you have strings of five. So let's say we got 20 people in there one night. You're going to have four strings of five. Well, the person who wins that string, once all the strings are done firing, you'll have four people who are going to compete against each other, the winners of those four strings, and it gets even more tight.
Oh,
because yeah. You've got, you know, the top shooters of the string, they're shooting against each other, and it's just a matter of a hair or two that you're missing. Yes. Every now and then you'll have a fluke and somebody just doesn't shoot well.
We're still shooting at a 6-inch circle, you're shooting at a 50-cent piece.
That's right. That's right. We got to speed up the process because if I keep it a normal, we'll be there all night. So I got to make it kind of tough for you guys. But it's a lot of fun, and I designed it specifically for self defense. A person who's on the street who's got a concealed carry weapon or whatever, they can feel confident in their abilities.
Picking up anything.
That's right.
And it's been great for me, but like, everything aside, I've always said it's the safety for me was so very important for me that, you know, and if you don't practice.
Butch, what do you think, in your opinion, you started off on certain guns. I don't remember what you started off with. It might have been a llama, which is okay. The old school llamas I like, but I don't even know if that was the one. But in the course of...
I was borrowing guns when I first started.
What have you come down to? What do you think you like now and why?
Oh, there's so many. I like them all now. I started out with a single shot 22 revolver, and now I've got several. I'm really partial to the 1911s and the Glocks. I'm still working on the Glock trigger pull, but I'm getting better. But
what is it about the 1911 you like?
Oh, it fits my hand better, and everybody's hands are different, and they're single stack, and I'm able to maneuver my hands and finger, I think, better than the double stack, which thicker.
I think we both have the same reason. That trigger is just so easy to pull. It's always the same no matter what condition it's in.
But I'm trying to, of course, when you get to a stage, you always want to try to, like a golfer, you know, they always want to master something more than what they have, and you know, you get to a point when you're really into it, you try to not really master, but you try to get better at multiple guns rather than just one.
Well, there's this concept idea of always have the same gun because then you don't have to think about it, and that's a good concept, but in our lifestyles of self-defense on the street, and there's nobody there to back you up, and you're not in the convenience of a gun range or your home where you have all this other stuff, you may have to use what's available. So it behooves a person who is out there on the street with a weapon or not a weapon to understand the basics of the common thread between all handguns so that you can pick up basically any handgun and shoot it with some type of accuracy. All right, Butch, look, see, that was quick time. See how fast that time goes? So what would be your final parting comment about the upcoming competition next Friday?
I'll just invite everyone out that would like to come, and don't feel intimidated by, because I've I was definitely wrong, because when I first started, I felt intimidated, and that was the wrong mindset. And so if you're a beginner...
Well, wait, let's clarify. You weren't intimidated when you were at the shop. You felt intimidated going because you didn't feel confident. But when you got there, you realized, oh, wow, this is so easy. You know,
I encourage anybody that carries, and if they were like me, you know, not very good, to go to a round robin, and it will really help you. That there's so many things that I could talk about in that aspect, but just go and practice. It will help you to be quicker. You don't have to think about things so hard. It will start coming. It will come natural. And as you're picking up whose ever gun it may be, whether if it's a revolver or...
Well, I concur with it. But I'll tell you what, Butch, we're out of time. I tell you, it's been a pleasure to have you on here. Thank you for coming on very, very much. And let's do a quick commercial. And when we come back, we'll have a replay of Master Cindy. No, no time? All right, let's just go into it. And ladies and gentlemen, until next week, keep your powder dry and God bless. Here's Master Cindy Key. Mr. Cindy Key with us here, going over some words of wisdom. So, Miss Key, it's all yours. Tell them what you got.
Okay, everybody. I know everybody's concerned about the school shootings, and now there's a lot of people are talking about gun control because of that. I want to talk about the reason that I don't feel like that's necessary, because it's not the actual gun that decides to pick itself up and go to a school and do a shooting, or go to a grocery store, or go to a nightclub and do the shooting. I mean, I'm looking right now. I'm looking around at this desk, and there's a pair of keys here. There's some pens and pencils. There's a large candle here. There is a tape dispenser. And honestly, all of those things could be used to hurt somebody and even kill somebody. But it would take me making a choice to pick that pen up and stab somebody in the neck, or the pencil, or take the big candle, the glass candle, and smash them in the head, and now they're gone. It takes that choice. As far as the kids in the school making these choices, there's got to be a way for parents to realize that in the very beginning, when you're raising your kids, there's got to be a parent there. There's got to be a parent that is teaching them discipline and respect, especially respect for life. Because if they don't have respect for life, basic life, if they don't respect themselves or anybody else, then they're not going to care if they hurt somebody. So in the beginning, parents, and I've seen this in my karate school, and I'm you know, I don't even remember the people's names, because I've had, you know, hundreds of kids in my karate school and people come through there. But I've seen some parents that want to be friends with their kids. They want to be their buddy, be their friend. Parents, you can't do that. Not when they're a kid. Not when they're still in school. You've got to be the parent. You've got to be the direction that shows them how to treat people, how to treat their teachers, how to treat their own family members and their friends, and they're looking to you. So parents, and again, I'm going to say this, I've had some parents that have been very disrespectful at my school, and I used to do contracts, and I had it in there that if you were disrespectful to anybody in my school, especially myself as the instructor, that first you got a fine, and then if you did it a second time, there's no strike three there, you're kicked out of my school. You're just not welcome anymore. Because number one, the teachers at school and myself, when we're teaching your children too, have to have your backup. We have to know that if your child is disrespectful or they're not knowing how to behave, that you will help lead them in the direction and say, you know, you have to be respectful to your teacher, to your parents, to your grandparents, to your babysitter. And that, I'm sorry, but I just really believe that that's where it all is going to start. On the second hand, when you're at school, kids and teachers, pay attention to those kids that make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. I've only had about three kids that I can honestly say in 20-something years of teaching and being at the elementary and the junior high and the high school that really kind of made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And I, you know, I just really had concerns that if somebody didn't intervene and get them some psychological help of some sort, that, you know, they could be a danger to somebody later. And hopefully, you know, they grew up and they did get their help. The parents got the help or the school helped get them get help. You know, that would be our goal, would be to help these kids before they get to that point. Now, here's another side of the story. The bullying in the schools got to be paid attention to. When my daughter was in junior high, she was being bullied by about five girls, and they would pick the locker room, they would pick the lockers, they would pick when she was by herself. Now, she knew how to defend herself, but I taught her to have respect for life. I taught her that you don't, you know, one wrong doesn't make it right for you to do a wrong too. So I wouldn't turn her loose. I would not let her hit back, fight back. I told her always to try to avoid those girls. You know who they are. Stay away from them. You know, report to a teacher. Unfortunately, it went further than that, and one of them actually made visible.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Quicken Loans.
I'm Bill Rakoff. North Korea is calling talks with the U.S. disappointing and regrettable after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that progress was being made on all fronts in those talks. CBS's Don Kirk in Seoul says the North statement pulled the credibility rug out from under Pompeo's claims.
North Korea's statement really pours cold water on the expressions of progress uttered by Secretary Pompeo as he was leaving Pyongyang, and again when he arrived in Japan after overnight talks with the North Koreans, first yesterday and then again today.
Foreign policy expert Matthew